The football coaches were making news this week too, Kurt. And I mentioned to Prater when I saw this, I said, yeah, football coaches are going to get a 10th staffer, and they would like to get this redshirt year thing organized to where if a kid played up to four games, he could still redshirt. It's kind of like the way the medical redshirt thing works. And I thought, you know, when the coaches usually want something, there's usually somebody else going, who's going to pay for it? That's just my, you know, my history of watching how these things go. And so I couldn't figure out the angle, though, on the redshirt thing, if that would be more expensive or would create a sixth year sometimes of putting him through school or insurance, or are there any other downsides per se in how the impact would be managed of a kid who would play and redshirt?
I don't think so, because, you know, most of the guys that we have in our program are here for 5 years anyways. So the only time that usually goes past that is if it's injury related. So I don't think from a financial standpoint, I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't spent much time thinking about that particular change in legislation, but, I'm not all the way against that. You know, I think four games is, or three games, or, you know, whatever it may be, it probably gives you a really good idea. I think maybe more so, and I haven't talked to Coach Harsin about this, but I mean, think about the experience they get, and they can still save a year.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that, you know, from their perspective, they in a sense kind of get to test these guys out a lot more than they would have before. And so, from a financial standpoint, I mean, these guys are mostly here for 5 years anyway. So I don't think that financially changes much for us.
Yeah. Well, we were ad-libbing and looking at it like a lot of the Group of Five or Power Five teams have FCS games.
Mm-hmm.
Boise State's played some of those. And the score gets to the point where, hey, let's get our starters out, make sure they're healthy. And all of a sudden, I think you could throw in a lot of red shirts to see how they're doing.
Yeah.
Or when you get down to bowl games, you may want to practice them harder and maybe play some of those kids. They ain't going to affect their red shirt.
Well, and you guys know this. I mean, playing in a game and practicing Tuesday through Thursday is a heck of a lot different. So you're really going to get to know whether or not they're ready or not. And not only physically, but mentally, do they understand the offense? Do they understand? And if they don't, they at least get, I guess it's four games, they get that experience, and it doesn't count as a year. So I could see that being beneficial in a lot of ways.
All right. So on the other end of this, will have impact is when you add a 10th position to the staff, and that includes the head football coach, right?
Yep.
So, now
he's the 11th.
He's the 11th. Yeah. Now talking about 10 staffers,
right?
Not counting your head football coach.
Yeah.
That has a direct bottom line effect, different on every campus, depending upon their average salary per se. What are your thoughts on adding another position to this field and what they would be necessarily coaching on the field?
You know, Coach and I have not talked about that yet. We've had some brief conversations. He's been gone. And so, we'll probably get together over the next week or so to start talking about that. I think that's probably going to play some type of role in, you know, his decision in filling out that staff. So that's something we're certainly going to have to talk about when he gets back. And I got to be careful what I say about, you know, 10 assistants and 9 assistants and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I want us to be competitive, but I also want to make sure that, you know, we're able to handle something like that financially. And that's something that Brian and I will discuss here sooner than later.
That's a big, I mean, if we're talking 128 FBS schools, let's just go for $100,000 average. That's $13 million.
Right.
You guys, athletic directors have to come up in salary.
Yeah.
And insurance and workman's comp and all the other side stuff you have to do. That's a significant amount of money.
I'm probably not the guy you need to be telling that to. I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, not for Power Five, though. They're driving the boat on this. They want to spend, my perception, want to spend all the football money they can. They'd be worried about anybody else. They got to spend it or lose it.
Well, Nick Saban can already do that. Nick Saban's already
got
a
30-person
staff. He just gives them these crazy titles
and
he gets away with it. So to me, that's, I don't know.
You know, it probably doesn't make a big difference for those schools that are spending, you know, $30 to $50 million on their football program.
Right.
But for someone like us, who's in that 8 to 10 range, something like that, that's hard to chew on, and that's something we're going to have to figure out.
Yeah, and would there be something like that where the conference could get together and say, hey, are we all on the same page here? Let's make a conference rule. We're not ready to do that. We're taking a 1-year or 2-year moratorium on that because all of us can't absorb another 150,000 plus jobs.
Well, it's similar to all the other legislation. You decide whether or not you opt in or opt out. The Mountain West, at least to my knowledge up to this point, hasn't done that in terms of dealing with the new legislation. They've, in a sense, just left it up to the individual schools. And my sense is they'll probably do that with this, unless, you know, you got 10 or 11 athletic directors completely against it. And we've got our meetings coming up and conference calls, and I'm sure that'll be a topic of discussion.
Well, full cost of attendance was, geez, I mean, compared to that, full cost of attendance was not a walk in the park.
No.
That was almost $1 million in some of these
places. Every school in our conference did the same thing.
Right.
You know, we opted to do that and go all in, and it was very costly for us.
What percentage of the Mountain West is still climbing? I don't think Nevada ever instituted it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, the two schools that come to mind in terms of kind of stair-stepping into it was Nevada, I think in New Mexico maybe. Those are the ones that come to mind. I'm not exactly sure what everyone is doing exactly.
I think, in Utah, the government helped them.
Yeah, I think most of them, though, are making their way to full autonomy. So, like I said, I don't see the Mountain West, you know, doing anything different than that, what they've done in other legislation. And my assumption is they'll probably leave it up to each school again.
Okay, this is a political commentary.
Yeah.
And now I was astounded. Prater sat over there like he's doing now. We had the governor, nominated Governor Little in here, and I bottom lined him. I said, so when's the state going to buck up and pay for some athletics for some of these schools? I said, New Mexico pays for scoreboards. They pay for full cost of attendance in Utah. What? Well, I think they ought to be self-reliant. We ought to be supplying them this, that, and the other. And I know you go to these conventions, and there's every state represented.
Yeah.
So is it the more conservative, smaller states? I mean, Wyoming shells out dough.
Yeah.
I know Nebraska must.
Yeah.
So what is it going to take around here for somebody to say, we have pride in what we do? Roads, bridges, and a new stadium. I need to be on the state board. I am available for these guys to get a dose of reality.
JP, how loaded is that question? Oh, my goodness.
Well, I just don't understand it.
Yeah. Prater, I'm going to turn to the guy on my left.
Prater, you saw him. He looked like me, like I was nuts.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And I'm sure Kurt would love a lot of free money from whoever wants
free
to
free money? No! It's to benefit the citizens of the state.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. He basically laughed.
I think it's, you know, it's in the eyes of the folks that you talk about, higher education just as a whole is much bigger than just athletics at Boise State. And that's something that, you know, to be quite honest, I think Governor Otter is taking some interest in that, obviously, by forming a task force. And, you know, who knows? That might be a topic down the road for that group. And I know that they're going to take a much closer look at higher education and how it's supported in the state of Idaho. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, for them, I'm sure they'd say, look, we're trying to get books done and this, that, and the other. We're not at the level where we're going to start adding scoreboards. I thought it was in New Mexico they added a scoreboard. Nevada doesn't give them a penny, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But they need me to hear this. Somebody needs to talk to them. You guys laugh. Somebody needs to tell them that they need to support some things around here. Prater, you don't even want to talk about it.
Well, no offense to Kurt. No offense to Kurt, but I don't want the state taxpayers paying for his scoreboard
until
we can figure out how to pay for teachers.
Well, that's the bigger challenge.
Once Prater finds out that he might have to put in a few bucks for this thing, God,
no, that's JP.
Just changes his mind.
Oh, I got no problem supporting it. I
want a one-by-one-inch part of the scoreboard with my name on it.
There you go.
JP hasn't voted for an education initiative in this state in forever.
That's not true.
Let's not go there.
JP, most things in this world can be bought. It's just a matter of how much it is.
Kurt, thank you for coming in. Sorry we went on our political soapbox.
No, you're good.
I had to vent it to somebody. It didn't work.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys. All right.